Let's open to 1 Corinthians this morning. It's a new year, but we're going to an old book, okay? But today, hopefully, the Lord will bring it very new and fresh to us. We've been studying through the book of Corinthians. You can go to Corinthians. You can use a chair Bible here, one of ours, if you'd like. That's page 953, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And as you're turning, those of you that have been kind of working through this with us, we've been going through Corinthians for a few months, and we've gone through the first and second chapters and really gotten to the heart of Paul's concern for the church of Corinth as well as for us. And namely, finding out what the nature of the gospel is, the power of the gospel, finding out that is the gospel message, that Christ came, was crucified, dead and buried, and rose again, is literally the power of God, Paul says. And it is the fuel, it's that message that fuels the mission of everything we do at City View, everything. It's not selfish ambition. It's not to look good in a community. It's not to make the newspapers. It's because we have a message that separates us from everything. And it's the power of God. And it's the gospel. And we've also discovered that he has called us to grow together. That was in the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So today I want to talk. What I think we're going to do is pick up the pace a bit. I'm going to go through to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 5. We're going to go to 5 to 15. And in this, I'm going to talk about some of our ministry priorities, some of the what's a big deal? What's going on at City View that's a big deal in 2012? So I'm going to hit on a couple of those things and some things that kind of hit us in our own families, in our own lives. So let's want to begin by reading on page 953, those of you that want to use the chair Bible. And listen, if you don't have a Bible, take that with you. If you don't have a Bible, just take it with you. If you do have one, leave it for the next person, okay? Corey? All right? Yeah, I don't want to see them on Craigslist, Corey. All right? It's not what this is about, college students needing money. All right, so let's begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wage according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation that someone else is building upon. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. It will become known. It will go public, he says. On the day, and the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, do you hear that? If anything you've done to build on this foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. Though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Hallelujah. Let's pray. It's exciting. It's a new year. Happy New Year. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. And we thank you, Father, we can come to this, Lord, this letter that was written so many years ago, Father, and it could be for a people such as us. Lord, as we look out upon a new year in 2012, Lord, I pray you would impress these words upon our heart. Lord, speak clearly to us and bring life. Awaken our hearts, Lord. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as Carrie said, I'm really excited to see the changes, aren't you? I'm thrilled with everything that's going on. I mean, outside in the lobbies, walls have disappeared, and we believe that that's a very good thing. I want to thank Pastor Dean. Oh, man, your team, painting, tremendous. All of those of you that I've taken the credit for doing anything, hopefully you know better. But if not, I'm going to tell you that Dean and his team have done a tremendous job painting and all of the prep that went into it. There is a lot to it. And so thank you for all that you've done. Dean also picked the colors. If you don't like them, you know, you talk to see, this all rolls this way. Yeah, we love you, Dean, but if you have any complaints, talk to him. And also Nick DeSetta. Is Nick around? Nick and Nick? No, Nick? All right. Nick, he's been working round the clock with his son to lay the floor down. A tremendous job. So we thank Nick DeSetta and all the volunteers. We believe it will. It suits the vision and the functionality of the building as we move forward into the next 10, 20, 30 years. We are thrilled with it. So thank you. I think there may still be some carpet squares out there if you want them. If you were attached to the old carpet, you can still get it in the dumpster. But one of the reasons I want to just talk about this for a second. By doing this, is it necessary? No. We don't have to even pave the driveway. We can drive on grass, gravel. It doesn't matter. However, it does speak to the upkeep, and what we do to the building does speak to a measure to the one of whom we gather here. Okay? We have to recognize that. Now, we saw huts and stuff in other countries, but we're not in other countries. And we want to take care and steward what God has given us. He's given us 20-some acres, so we have to mow it from time to time and once in a while. And we should paint, too. And it just helps warm the place up a bit. But we also, the other thing is we don't want to get caught up in everything either. Well, I don't like the paint color. I wouldn't have done tile. I certainly wouldn't have grouted it, or I would have done this, or we should have put more carpet down. You know what? I didn't think we should have done anything because I really like those stains. I was attached to the stains. I really like them. It brought me comfort that the world, although the world changes and the layoffs are there, my stain will always be on the floor at the church. That will never change, but that's gone. We don't want to get caught up in those kind of things, because eventually when we do put a permanent sign down and we put the stakes in the ground, it should really read that City View meets here. So there's a dynamic of this, that this is not City View, the colors, the tile, or anything. This is City View. Like Deb is City View, and the Foxes are City View, and Joe and DJ are City View, and City View meets here. But it also does speak to the one of whom we meet to worship. Okay, so I'm thrilled in that measure. And as we gather as City View and we look out over, you know, we're looking out over a new year. We're also looking out over a new decade. A few weeks ago we shared that we have now been here on the hill for 10 years. So we look back and say, praise God for all that he's done. But let's look forward with great hope and great anticipation of what he's doing and going to do. So as we peer out over a new year, as a church, as families, and we peer out over the next decade, it remains unwritten. It's not written yet. And the picture I get in my head is when fresh snow comes down and you look out in your yard and you see it and you thought, oh, I don't want it disturbed. It's fresh. Everything looks clean. It looks beautiful. And then we send our kids out in it. And it tracks it all up, and it's all messed up, and it just doesn't have that pure, that unwritten feeling to it. So as we stand here, and we recognize that here we are, ready to step off into a new year, and we literally have, over the last few hours, the yard is yet fresh. There's no tracks in it. It's not been written. The next decade of this church has not been written yet. So as we look back next year when we're standing here and sitting here or whatever, next year, what will the tracks look like? Where will God have led us? What will the yard tell about us in your own life? What did you do? What things do we invest our time in? Because we'll be able to look back and say, well, there's definitely tracks in the ground. And you can do that looking back and say, well, what does the yard look like from last year? Maybe I don't like the way it looks. But I don't want to underestimate it. I mean, the Dick Clark and Ryan Seacrest or whoever's running the show now, I mean, that it can get a bit cliched if you watch it, you know, and all is happy and everybody, it's a whole new year and we're somehow regenerated overnight and we have a new, we can actually have the power to be different people because of midnight. It's ridiculous. It really is, if you really think through it. But yet I'm thankful for it because it gives the world that moves 1,000 miles an hour a moment that they reflect, that they stop. It's kind of one of those things. And although it's ridiculous when you think about it, when you really think it through, when I woke up this morning, I'm the same person, really. I want to believe differently, but I'm really the same. I haven't really changed. God, I'm inviting him to change. I can commit to things, but I'm thankful that we have a moment that we can pause and recognize, listen, God has more. We're going somewhere. We were somewhere, and we evaluate it. And the sad thing is, many of us, that's only a once-a-year thing because your lives are just so fast, and they're moving ahead. And I think this is Paul's thought here as we look at 1 Corinthians, especially verse 10, when he says, let each one take care how he builds. Let each one take care how he builds. And I want to establish two quick points, and then I want to land on the lower section of this. First of all, Acts 17, we want to talk about God as the designer of this thing. The church and our lives, the family units, and who we are. God is the designer. Acts 17 tells, Paul says that we don't dwell in buildings. God doesn't dwell in buildings built with human hands. God doesn't dwell there. Peter echoes it in 1 Peter 2 when he says, you are living stones being built into a spiritual house. In verse 9 that we just read, Paul says, you're God's building. You, corporately and individually, Beth is God's building, and God has designed her and continues to design her. Now, we can wonder what God is doing in designing her, and we often wonder about Beth, and we don't really know sometimes. Why? No. But we know very clearly that God is the designer. It's God's building in verse 9. We also read in verse 11 that Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. We are not free to put down any foundation we want. We can't just choose to build on anything. It's literally all about Jesus. Just like we said, we've sang it here, we've talked about it. This is all about Jesus. Or I would just be standing up here giving a keynote saying, welcome to Rotary, welcome to JC's. Great civic organizations have fellowship, they eat, they have a message, they have a speaker, and they do good work, you know, eradicating polio or what. But we are not those things, and what separates us is Jesus Christ and the centrality of his being and the message that he brings, okay? So this is really all about Jesus. God's the designer, Jesus is the foundation of everything. And Paul says, listen, I poured this thing, and those of you in Guatemala, you know about pouring foundations, don't you? Yeah? Those of you that have been there with Mike, I don't know how many foundations you guys have poured there. A lot of them. And Paul says, listen, I didn't, you know, I poured it. I was a part of raking it in and getting the foundation set, but I'm not it. I'm not the foundation, because in chapter 3 and also back in chapter 1, there was this discussion about, well, I'm into Apollos, you know, I'm into this guy, I'm into that guy. And Paul again is reiterating, Christ is the foundation. I poured it, I was a part of it, I helped it, but I'm not it. And no church is sustainable when it's founded on one person. No church is sustainable. None. And you can just kind of go back in your memory if you go through the ripples of your corporate life in church and realizing that the hiccups and the bumps and the dramatic turns, ups and downs, a lot of times is connected to one person, whether they're doing well or they're doing bad. Okay? And Paul here is saying, listen, I'm raising people from the dead, but I am not the foundation. I poured it. Jesus Christ is the foundation. He's saying, because I'm leaving, I will die, I have to travel, I will be executed, I'll be martyred. Pastors will come, they'll move, they'll die. Church leaders and people we look up to, those things are good and God gives them, but they will pass. The only thing that is sustaining is a church built on this one foundation, Jesus Christ. He is the reason we come to church. I hope. He's the reason we come to church. He's the reason we're in church. Jesus Christ is the foundation. And then in verse 10, he says, let each one take care how he builds upon it. So first of all, he's looking at the church leader, primary church leaders of that time, of the Corinthian church. He's charging them to soberly carry out their responsibilities. And on that, in that thread, 2012, as far as I'm concerned, some of the big deals, some of the ministry priorities that are on my radar this year, I'll list a few of them. So one, you know how to pray, and you know how to engage, and you kind of see a bigger picture of it. But as he's saying, be careful how you build, leaders. Be careful how you build. The foundation is down. Now we're putting up, and he's going to talk about it. If you're using the wrong materials, things are going to get bad for you. Be careful how you build. And so we are assessing as a leadership. One of the great big deals of 2012 is going to be life groups. You know what? I'm not done talking about them. They're not going away. There's 35% of us are involved in life groups on a regular basis. 35%. 35. That's 3.5 people per 10. I think. Is that right? Math people? It's 3.5 people to 10. So 35% of us are engaged in life groups, which encourage growth and accountability and extending care and ministering in your giftings. And those are the primary drivers there. But I would say that those are byproducts. You know, we've talked about them a lot, but those are byproducts. Those are the results that come from life groups or community or small groups is what I'm talking about. If life groups is throwing you off, just small groups that meet during the week, nights and days. The foundational reason why we have life groups is really twofold, and they're both PG. They're PG rated, okay, for you to remember. One is to portray God. It's to portray him. Small groups, the foundational reason why we have them is to portray God. What is he like? The triune nature of God, his threeness in one, in the community that God himself is, the relationship, the oneness is portraying God. So when we come together in fellowship and in small groups, it portrays God. Because without Christ, what sin has damaged, what sin has fragmented, Christ has brought back together. He's reconciled what sin has broken. And so that's relationship. And we've got to believe that true relationship is impossible without the gospel. It's impossible without Christ. So when we come together in authentic relationship, and listen, the small groups, we're all growing in this. So if you think, well, my small group, we're not. Listen, we're growing in that. It's to portray God. The other one is to proclaim the good news. It's to proclaim the gospel because of this oneness. And there's a real dimension to life groups, I think, that we'll see them giving us a glimpse of the advancement of the gospel, advancing his work in the earth through our small groups, even more so than in a big, well, we need to do a great big church outreach. Now, I think a lot of this is going to happen through small groups. It's through our life groups. We're going to understand, I think, this year a little bit better the integral part that they play in the advancement of the gospel. Because as Paul said, foundationally here, we're called to grow together. Called to grow together is what we're called to. So I think for some of us, we need to just hit the Control-Alt-Delete button. What we think of life groups and small, I've been a part of small groups. So I did small groups back in, just Control-Alt-Delete, clear it. Just clear it. Because we're going to see life groups at City View as a real weapon for God. Caring relationships, deeper relationships, growth, accountability, those kind of things are byproducts of it, but they're not the reason. They're not the foundational reason we do it. It's to portray God and proclaim the gospel, which really leads me to my second point. Our real need in the area of life groups is leaders. I have host homes ready. Those of you that have come to me over the last few months, I have you all. I haven't forgotten you. You're hooked. You're in. But we need leaders. We need leaders, people that will commit to just being there facilitating and being a part of it, which leads me to my second big deal this year, which is developing leadership here at City View. All levels of leadership, structures, and systems to identify, coach, train, and release leaders. Appointing of elders and deacons. We have elders. We'll see an increase in that level, I believe, this year. But that'll be a big deal. That's a big focus this year. I think we'll have opportunities for leadership all over the place this year. And hopefully the development of a leadership, like a leadership track training, and just the real issue is time. There are those of you in this room that are called to leadership at a corporate level. I mean, men, you are leaders, whether you like it or not, of your homes. There's a given. There's those of you at your work. You have leadership positions. But in this realm, God has called you. Paul says, listen, it is a good thing that some of you aspire to this. It's a good thing. Where are you? Where are you? We're going to continue through the Corinthian study. I believe that we're going to pick up the pace. We're going to get the sweeping. We've really laid a great foundation through the first couple chapters. But it's going to get really good. I believe that when we hit like chapters 11, 12, 13, 14, we're going to really expand our understanding of this this convergence of word and spirit and its manifestation in our body. What does it look like? The Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, love, unity, all of those things. It's going to be exciting. I believe we're going to have an increase in corporate prayer. As I said, we have Tuesday night prayer. We've got Sunday morning prayer going. I believe we're going to put a sign down at the building or down there this year. Goodness. How many years have I said that? But I think this year's a good year. Why not? Let's do it. That's a big deal. And I believe we're going to be exploring, and I'll be looking into establishing apostolic covering for us as well. We're going to begin to have those conversations because I believe it's important that we're not alone and vulnerable in some ways as a congregation. But really, the two big for me, the big deals is life groups and leadership for me. Okay, so if you want to know how to pray for the leadership and pray for City View, those are some of the things you can do. So Paul says, take care how you build this year. But also recognizing that the church isn't just the corporate structure of it. It's us. It's Tina. It's me. It's Jeannie. We are the church, so we have to take this word and ingest it in our own settings and say, listen, I have to watch how I build this year. I need to take heed how I build this year, the decisions I make, the tracks in the snow that I make, because it all affects corporate. What you do matters, Tina. What you do matters, Matt and Danae, to everybody here. So we need to take heed, take a care of how we build. And as we celebrate certain days, and New Year's Day being one of them, verse 13 says, I mean, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, your birthday, I mean, these are a big deal, right? But Paul, as he works down through here, he says, there is a day coming that will be the Day of Days. That's a day with a capital D. Is there a D in your Bible? Capital D? what on earth? Is that a misprint? Like, that's not, it's not supposed to be. That's a day. That's a proper noun. There is a day coming. It is the day of days. It's the day of Christ, the day of Christ's return, the day of judgment. In Hebrews 10:25, and you can just make a note, Hebrews 10:25 speaks of it as well, and it says, listen, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. There's again, he's talking about the day, the writer of Hebrews. There's this day coming. And we sang about it this morning. There's a day coming, the day of days. And so as you have, you know, you're at a party last night or you're next week, you're somebody, you say, well, you're not going to church on Christmas Day, are you? You're not going to go to church every week. Why are you? Well, yes, I am. Well, why are you doing that? Well, because I don't want to bring discouragement on my brothers and sisters that are around me. I'm not going to miss the gathering and bring disappointment on those around me. I don't want to introduce disappointment into the corporate if I miss, if I'm not there. That's what he's saying. He's saying many other things, but that's one of the things he's saying is next time that you're out late Saturday or you're not sure, you're kind of in the valley of decision Sunday. Am I going to go? I don't know. Remember Hebrews 10:25, that it matters that you show up. It is an encouragement when Tammy is here. And when Tammy is not, she's missed. There's a discouragement that whether it's spoken or not, you know this is true. Where's so-and-so? I didn't see. There's a discouragement in. Now, there's a concern there, but there's a discouragement. So it does matter. You just showing up matters. Now, that's not the point. He doesn't want you to just show up. But I've spoke to some of you and said, listen, your presence here blesses me. You don't have to say anything. I may not even see you. I may not even greet you on a Sunday morning, but it blesses me when I see you here every week faithfully. It matters. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Don't introduce discouragement. But he's also saying, don't just show up. Show up and build with the right materials. Show up and build with the right materials. Because Paul is saying that some of us will be building with, what is that? Gold, silver, precious stones. Some of us are going to be building with wood, hay, building with straw. And he says that there's going to be a final test. Now, we had a slide up here, and it had the flames on the bottom. So I wasn't sure if that was the fireplace or we kind of were in hell or what. But you know what? I'm picking on Nick or whoever does that. But you know what? It fits because what we're looking at here is there's actually fire in heaven. Fire is not just a hell concept. We're reading here that there's going to be an element of fire, a severe burning on that day. And a test is coming. And the test will be very public. It won't be in little cubicles. It'll be very public. And everything that we've done, the material that we've built on this foundation, is going to be submitted to a fire. And that fire will consume it if it can be consumed. In the essence, and I don't want to get into too much of this at this point. The essence of this is motivation and conduct. Your motivation and your conduct are two main indicators of how combustible your material is. It's your motivation. It's your conduct. That is what the issue here is in terms of whether my material is combustible or not. The Bible says, examine ourselves. Be asking, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And all of our work must be completely ruined if it's not approved by God. That's what he's saying. All our work. And this highlights the scrutiny that our lives and our work are going to be brought. What we do matters. Now, this fire is not about your eternal condition. It's not about you going to heaven. It's about the reward. And there is a reward. Isn't that crazy? Salvation by grace, by faith alone, and then works. What does he say here? Though he himself will be saved, you will be saved by faith, by Jesus Christ, by the gospel. But your reward is based on works. It does matter. That's not what the whole morning is about, but boy, that is a leveler. It should be a great motivator this year. That should be the motivator. And the early church believed very strongly in this concept of reward, and it motivated their life, their godly lifestyle, not to earn favor with God, but there was reward involved. It pleased God, and that was what they were after. We've got to be very careful that we don't mix that all up and think, well, the reward is heaven, and like I need to work to get there. I got to be good enough to get there. That is not at all what he's teaching here. But it's an immense motivation for godly living. And at the end, at issue on that day, will we find that our work lacked eternal significance? That's the point. And I think as we all look out over 2012, we want it to have an internal impact. We want to be doing things that will last for eternity, that they won't show really well now and get to the day, it gets leveled, and I kind of go into heaven, and like, I want to be carrying eternal things with me, the eternal significance. And our prayer this year is that this will be a church that makes an eternal and a significant impact on lives. But when I say that, I don't mean it just a corporate, like we're going to have this big mission thing we're going to do. We're going to do a big evangelism push and make an eternal significance. When I say this church, it means each of us. In our ways, in our spheres, with who we interact with, we're making eternal significance. And thus we all do. That's how it works. That's how it works. This year is yet to be written. There's fresh snow on the ground. What are the tracks going to look like? What are the patterns going to tell us about God and his work in our lives as a church, as individuals, as families? Let each one take care how he or she builds this year. Let's pray.